it is time for, as we do every Monday, do they have a case with Wayne Resnick and moi? Songs, Wayne. I do. This is how Wayne broke into talk radio, by the way, writing those songs. And they were so good that he became a talk show host. That worked out. There's very little connection between writing song. Never mind. I'm just being an ass, Wayne.
That's okay.
Yeah.
If you write things for people who are talk show hosts, though.
That's true.
That's how you end up in this world.
That's fair. That's fair to say. Everybody ends up differently here. It's not one of those things that you train for. It just sort of happens.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to do it? Let's do they have a case with our first case, Wayne?
All right. I'm going to let you decide which one we do first with only, I'm going to give you one word of each one. You want to have feather or do you want to have boisterous?
Okay.
This is which one will go first.
Let's do feather.
All right. Now, this involves a young lady graduating from high school at a school where the district does not allow you to put anything on your graduation cap. You must not. She asks for permission to put an eagle feather on her graduation cap because she is an enrolled member of a Native American tribe.
Okay.
And the wearing of the eagle feather is a long and very deeply important tradition at graduations because of the history. I won't spend too much time on it, but it's important to understand why it's important to her. That back in the 1870s is when this started, and they took Native American children away from their families and put them in these boarding schools and tried to get them to assimilate and wouldn't let them have any of the things of their culture.
Or speak their language.
Or correct. And these kids in these schools would be punished
right
for not assimilating. All right. So fast forward to now, and it's a very important thing. She asks for a religious exemption. They say, sorry, there are no exceptions to this rule. Nobody puts anything on their cap, doesn't matter what it is. So she shows up anyway with the eagle feather on the cap. And I've seen a picture of it, and just sort of, if people are imagining something huge or visually distracting, it's not. It is a very modest little feather on the top of the graduation cap. And they won't let her in. Sorry, we have a rule. No exceptions. You can't participate. Wow, what a bummer. Except there's a kid with a breast cancer awareness sticker on his
that
cap.
Did it. That's it. You don't have to go any further.
And there he is.
There he is. And they let him in.
And so she sues for a discrimination and a violation of First Amendment, and that this policy is not evenly enforced, and that she was the victim of either content discrimination or viewpoint discrimination because they wouldn't let her in, mm-hmm. and they let breast cancer awareness man in. Does she now? Here's the thing. It seems like there's nothing to discuss here. This is whether she is allowed to pursue this case. Or whether it is summarily dismissed.
Correct.
You say, what is the defense? What could it be? Here's the defense at this stage. How do we know the other kid, breast cancer awareness sticker kid, how do we know he just didn't break the rule and got away with it?
Oh, that's a good point. Okay.
So, and the response to that is, well, you're not even allowing me to pursue it
right.
to find out.
Right.
So, does she have a case specifically in that? Does she have the right to pursue it to find out what's going on?
I can't see how she could not. Because the issue of you didn't know or did know or the kid got away with it, we're talking about the breast cancer awareness kid, that is a factual issue, and that should be brought up in trial. So she should absolutely go forward. That did it. The issue, it would have been a much more fun case if that hadn't happened, the second kid, where does she have a right to do it at all? Incidentally, just a quick aside, one of the wonderful things about graduation, usually it's college, but sometimes high school, is what people do to their gowns and their graduation hats, graduation caps. That's what's fun about graduating. When I graduated law school, I graduated with a chef's hat, and it was a giant word law at the bottom of my chef's hat. I got a degree in chef's law. And there was some crazy stuff. God, I hate schools that, oh no, you can't. Come on. Of course you can. That's what's fun. Graduation is fun. By the way, just as I crossed, just another story is as I crossed the dais and I was shook hands with the president and was given the diploma, my constitutional law teacher is on, he's one of the teachers that are sitting down on the dais on the platform. And as I passed, you could actually hear him say, "Handel, you are a travesty." He actually said that. He actually did say that.
Boisterous. What does it mean to be boisterous? This matters to a bunch of school children in South Carolina. South Carolina has two laws that are the subject of this case. One of them is a general disorderly conduct law, and it's a crime, a misdemeanor, to conduct oneself in a disorderly or boisterous manner. And the other law that they have specifically is about schools. They call it the Disturbing Schools Law, and it says it's a crime to interfere with or disturb in any way or in any place the students or teachers of any school or college in the state, or to act in an obnoxious manner thereon. Now, sometimes you have laws and they're on the books, but nobody ever does anything with them. They love this law. The schools love it. There was a DA in South Carolina who had to write a letter to the school district in his jurisdiction and say, "Please stop referring all these kids to me for criminal prosecution. You must have some kind of internal disciplinary action." Over a five-year period, over 3,700 kids, we're talking kids as young as seven, were referred for criminal prosecution under the disorderly conduct law. And over the same period, over 9,500 were sent for prosecution for the disturbing the schools. Well, finally, a bunch of the kids get together. I mean, their parents and their lawyers got together, and they file a big class action lawsuit saying these laws are unconstitutional because they are too vague. And as you know, Bill, if a law is too vague, it is void for vagueness. You can't have it in a criminal law. You have a right to know specifically what's prohibited and whether or not your behavior would violate it. So it centers on basically a couple of things, the main one being boisterous. They don't define what it is to be boisterous under this law. They just use the word boisterous. What do you think? Is that too vague? How would you even decide if it was too vague?
And immediately refer, I think of, well, first of all, I think that the problem here is application of the law, where it is beyond reasonable. They have to have other ways of dealing with this because this is so overloading the system that the DA says, come on, you can't do this. Now, the legal issue here as to what is boisterous, what is disorderly when you argue disorderly conduct? What is playing music too loud? And I don't know the answer. The police will come out and say it's too loud, but maybe you've got a neighbor that has super sensitive hearing. How about a dog barking next door? The dog barking is too loud. What does that mean? And how do the police determine that? I mean, I had a case, God, my daughter lived in a condo that we have where the downstairs neighbor was screaming too loud, and actually filed a lawsuit against us.
Saying that your daughter was being too loud.
Right. Saying my daughter and her roommate was being too loud. We had to fight it. We hired a sound engineer to actually determine what the decibel level was. And the case was settled because who knows what too loud is? Even then, we couldn't determine that 110 decibels or 105 decibels are too loud.
Because that's really loud, though. Just I know you just threw those numbers out, but 105 decibels.
Yeah, it's a jet. Yeah, I know. It's an old. It's a 707 jet engine. It's a jet engine from the 70s. But the point is that they're going to say that. Here's what I'm guessing. Even though I think that boisterous, it can be determined what boisterous is based on the other laws of disorderly conduct. Someone has to determine that. But I'm going to say that boisterous is not too vague, except I know the court went, it's too vague. Well, I know that.
When a word is not defined in the law that it's in, where do you look? You go to the dictionary.
You do, or you go to the intent of the legislation, too. But that could be, you're right. So you go to the dictionary.
Merriam-Webster. So boisterous can mean all of these things. Noisily turbulent, rowdy, marked by or expressive of exuberance and high spirits. So the problem here is you have a law that in the way it's written, if some kids are on the playground and they're going, yay, 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 somebody decides you're boisterous, off you go for a misdemeanor criminal charge. They tried to do what you're doing. How is it being applied? What's the common sense that's being brought here? And they got a cop on the stand and they said, well, like, how do you decide when you would arrest a kid or not? And he said, and see if this helps you or makes it more murky. He said, if I heard something that was kind of loud enough that I turned around to see what was happening, that would be illegal. But if I just heard somebody speaking very loudly in a conversation, that would be okay.
Yeah, well, that made no sense. That on its face makes no sense.
Well, so now, what do you do? Because remember, some laws on their face, in fact, talk for a second about the difference between it's facially unconstitutional or it's unconstitutional as applied.
Well, facial.
Because one,
the way it's written, for example,
what you're doing with it, right. And the other one doesn't.
Right. Well, facially unconstitutional when it is so vague that you can't determine. The other one is where it would be deemed constitutional, but it is applied in a capricious, complied in a way that makes no sense, as you pointed out with this particular case. But they held the law itself was unconstitutional, right? Because the word boisterous was in the Constitution.
The argument that the words of the law are so vague that nobody can know what behavior violates it or not, meaning as it's written, it's unconstitutional.
I'd like to know the definition of disorderly, too, in Merriam-Webster.
You're not going to like the answer, but I'll give it to you. Without order. Lacking order.
Well, there you go. That makes sense constitutionally. All right, Wayne, you're done. We'll talk again tomorrow. All right? That was great.